Welcome to Jesus Centric Life. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And today our conversation is around conversational faith. This is part one of two. And what we're going to do right now is look at what conversational faith is and what it isn't. So yeah. I'm going to hand it over to you because this is something that you've been chewing on for a little bit.
Yeah, this is, and if you know me, you know, this is my wheelhouse. How do we have conversations with people that lead to Jesus? And really, if I were just to define conversational faith, you know, we might use it a lot of different terms for it. We might say witnessing, or we might say joining Jesus, or from Greg Finke, we might say just sharing your faith. We may call it evangelism, or we may call you a missionary. It's kind of the same, the same gamut. But when we say conversational faith, we really mean that witness or that discipleship or that evangelism that happens not not kind of at someone, but with someone, a conversation okay. with them where you understand where a little bit of where they're coming from. So you can kind of not change the gospel, but say the gospel in a way that makes the most impact with them, their life, because you're engaged in a conversation.
So how is conversational faith different than witnessing or different than joining Jesus? How does this fit into its own niche?
Yeah. And so let's start with the witnessing. I think the problem with witnessing isn't that witnessing is the wrong word. It's the way that we take it. So for instance, like Acts 1:8, it says this, and this is from Jesus to the disciples, but you will receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. We've heard that.
Right.
And so a lot of times when we take, well, you'll be my witnesses. And we say, well, it's my witness. Mm-hmm. We say it's my witness, which is actually the terms, but it's not what Jesus is saying. When he says my witnesses, he's talking about you're mine. He's talking about you do not go alone. He's talking about you represent me. He's saying you're my ambassadors. And so when we say my witness, it's not Joshua Kreppel's witness. It's witnessing Jesus. And so I think what that does for us is it allows us to recalibrate and say, when I go, it's not me saying and doing the right things in order that they believe me, but it's me opening up the door for Jesus to work in their lives. But Jesus is going to use my words.
And the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, the Bible is pretty clear that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. Right? That's how faith is imparted. But when we're my witnesses, as in Jesus's witnesses, when you go out and you're Jesus's witness, Jesus is working through you. And so that's why I think mm-hmm. it's so much more helpful for a lot of us, especially if you don't have the gift of evangelism. If you have the gift of evangelism, you probably can do this from a, you know, this is what I get to do. I'm bold and courageous in it. But when we're at the place of that's not really something that feels comfortable to kind of share our faith, to tell someone what Jesus says, we get to remember that we're just speaking his words, not ours. And the best way, I think, for most of us to access this is just through conversation.
Right. Because even as you're talking, I'm thinking, wow, that relieves a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what part of my story am I about to share, or,
yeah.
you know, what does God want me to say right now?
Yeah.
But it's very much putting it on him and allowing his story to speak through me. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in conversational witness, what we do, conversational faith, is we seek to have a relationship, we seek to deepen that relationship, and we let Jesus come up. Versus, I think witness carries this context of, you're a person, I've got to get to Jesus.
Right.
And I would say, no, you're a person, you need to have a relationship with a person. When you get to Jesus, be ready. And you will get there, but just be ready as best as you can when you get there. Not, I have to find a way to hook Jesus into this conversation.
So there seems to be two tracks of thought right now. Mm-hmm. There's ride or die Christianity, like,
yeah.
let's go. I've only got a little bit of time mm-hmm. and a lot of people.
Yep.
And then there's the, oh, I don't want to rock anybody's boat. I just want to, you know, just do the best I can as a
yeah.
Christian, right? Okay, so we've
yeah.
got these two extremes. And some people may feel that this is not ride or die enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Or fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
And so I would say this, if God has given you a heart to be more ride or die when it comes to your evangelism, do that. Bring it up more boldly and clearly. And probably for you, that's going to be authentic. And your friends around you are going to be, well, that's just him. That's just her. That's just who they are.
Well, and the Holy Spirit will use that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the word of God doesn't return void. And right. So like, if you are the person that's like, I'm going to bring up Jesus to every person I come in contact with, to every restaurant, every Uber driver, every person on the street, every person I work with. Great. Now, I think you need some emotional intelligence to know, like,
right,
that there's times you back up and times you lean in, like, but work on that, practice that, hone your craft. But what I find is, what happens when we go hard at, you need to be this type of person, we leave everybody else in the dust. And so what I'm trying to say is, if you're the person that doesn't want to rock any boats, praise God for that. God has wired you for someone that needs a little softer approach. But what you can't do is, you can't just sit on the sidelines and say, well, I don't want to rock their boat, so I'm not going to say anything. And I think this, like what we're talking about, is going to help you if you're on the fringes and you're not sure you're going to do this. I'm not sure it's going to be as helpful for the people that are already going out and doing this. Although I think there's some techniques that those people can learn too, to make your bold witness a little more conversational. To maybe some people, you may need to lighten what you're doing, and this might help you lighten or soften around the edges.
And have a better understanding of the people that you're speaking to. Because when you get into part two, when we talk about the five hurdles,
yeah,
that knowledge, looking at apathy and intellect, yeah, emotion, church hurt, different religions, yeah, that gives me some knowledge as I ride or die.
Correct.
Maybe I need to pull back a little bit here as I speak to a person.
Or change the approach. Or,
yeah, yeah.
Because I think we want to be wise in this. It's interesting. Like, there's this weird juxtaposition in evangelism, in witnessing, and where, you know, conversational faith is kind, right, of the term we're sharing. But that 1 Peter 3:15 says this: always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Like, there's a lot in there, but it says always be ready. Like, be ready. And then in Matthew 10:19, Jesus says this: do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Isn't that weird? Like, it's this balance of don't worry, but be prepared.
Right.
Go do it. God will give you the words, but be prepared. And I think there's always this give and take of, we'll never be prepared enough, but we do have to go. We do have to start. We do have to sharing our faith. And in the sharing of our faith, it'll help us be better prepared. And so I would just say, like, wherever you are in your witnessing, it's good to slow down and learn, and then it's good to go out and try.
And this isn't defined one age either.
No.
Like, we're learning our entire lives. This side of heaven,
yeah,
we're in this process of,
yeah,
growing and being challenged and learning,
yeah,
and the Holy Spirit using us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So no matter what you call sharing your faith, whether it's witnessing or giving testimony or joining Jesus, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you feel it creates so much pressure, feel even fear, even guilt for people? Like, why is that hanging over sharing our faith?
Yeah. Let's just celebrate part of it for a second.
Okay.
Like, the fact that you feel strongly about it is a good thing. Like, that's some holy anxiety stirring it up in you that this is important.
Right.
But I think where we live in that tension correctly is when we remember that it's, when Jesus says my witnesses, he doesn't mean Joshua Kreppel's witness. He doesn't mean Donna Patton's witness. He means my witnesses. You're my witness. And so when you go to share, it's about sharing me, not about sharing yourself. It's about sharing what I've done, not about how smart you are or how well you can argue. It's about sharing me. And so I think that should alleviate and put the angst in the right place, because the angst should be, this really matters. Like, I think as Christians, we should have this angst that this really matters. Our world is crazy. More people need Jesus. There's people that are dying without knowing their Savior. Like, this is,
right,
this is a big deal. Like, this isn't a small thing. So there should. So I don't want to get rid of all the angst and all of those feelings, because I think, like, they should be there. But I think when we take our angst that, well, I want people to know, and we put the burden on me to do something, but the burden on Jesus to make the faith. Mm. I think it changes from about me to about him. And it's this journey I get to engage in, not this pressure that I have to fulfill.
Yeah, I know I've spoken on here before about Kennedy evangelism, and it really did have its place in that time period. But I remember being in a conversation with somebody who was not a believer after I learned this, and I was so focused on if I was going to remember the right Bible passage at the right time, which led to another Bible passage, that I don't even remember much of their story.
Yeah.
Because I was so concerned, worried that I would fail by not knowing the next right step.
Yeah.
And this takes that away. This is just being present and allowing the Holy Spirit to just use you in that moment.
Yeah, I just listened. Funny, I was, you know, bringing up Kennedy evangelism. I was listening to a pastor that's, I forget who it was, but pretty well known, that still uses it.
Really?
He still uses it, and he does it in his own authentic way.
Wow.
But it's even, so it's gotten me thinking that even the methods that we think are outdated, like if they work for you and they're authentic to you, then use them. And so like, I think I'm becoming less and less that the method isn't as important as that you're doing it. But yet at the same time, like I am teaching a method, and that's what we're doing. We're teaching a method of conversational faith, because I think this method is effective and accessible to a lot of people. And it is a method at some level. And again, my method is, it's pretty simple. You approach someone, and I've talked about this in church and other places. You approach someone, you build a relationship with them, and then Jesus comes up. That's conversational faith for me. You approach someone, you wave across the street, you walk up to them, and then Jesus is going to come up as your relationship deepens. And that's both simple and complex all at the same time. But that for me is how I would teach conversational faith. It's approach someone, have a deeper conversation, and Jesus is going to come up.
Yeah. So I golf on Mondays with a group from church, and Mike Farley is in that group. Mm. And at the beginning of summer, they threw another guy in with our group, and Mike started building a relationship with him. And he's much better at that than I am on golf day, because I'm focused on golfing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't have much of the part of the conversation. Next week, the guy's back. Mike's talking with him again. Next week, guy's back. Mike's talking with him again. He's golfed with us quite a few times. He and his girlfriend have come and been a part of our foursome. But it's been really cool to watch. And last week, Pastor Hiller golfed with us. Mm. So Mike texted him ahead of time and was like, hey, wanted to let you know our pastor's going to be here, just so you know. And it was cool because the questions started changing, and the things that they started talking about this past week started changing.
Yeah.
And just to watch Mike develop that relationship, watch God use Mike with this young man. He must be like 29, and he's golfing with people, you know, double his age, right? But it's super cool to watch how God is using that and how Mike is letting it simmer.
Yeah.
And giving it the time it needs.
Yeah.
And we know a lot about this guy, probably more than we know about each other in some ways, right?
Yeah.
But it's super cool to watch as God's using this.
Yeah, and I think that's the key in here, is that I think sometimes we get scared. Like when we said my witnesses, it's like the pressure's on you to bring up Jesus. And what I want to do in conversational faith is if you're good at bringing Jesus into conversation, I'm not saying stop.
Right.
But if you're not good at Jesus coming up in conversations, my encouragement for you is just to have deeper conversations, just to get to know people a little more, ask them things about their family, about how their work is going, about do you feel satisfied in the work that you do? This is a dangerous one, but how do you feel about the world right now? And again, just listen and hear where they're coming from. Because when you have these, my assumption is when you have these deeper conversations with someone, that it's natural to bring up Jesus, that it's natural to go, because Jesus is a deep topic. Like Jesus is not a shallow topic. People have strong opinions about Jesus. And so to bring up Jesus is a bit of a dangerous conversation. But if you go from the Broncos were great last night, to the weather's kind of weird, to, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Like that's kind of a jarring move. Now, some of you can work with that. You just roll with it. But a lot of us can't, myself included. Yeah. But if I've had conversations about stuff going on in their family, stuff going on at work, what they think about the world at large, like Jesus is the next logical step. Like it's just some, because people do talk about spiritual things. It's a deep topic.
Right.
But so the key here is in conversational faith that we deepen the conversation.
My son works in Texas and works for a very big company in Texas. A lot of the guys that he's worked with up to this point have been Christian and have been just great role models, examples for him. He right now is working with an atheist. Mm. And for those of you listening, we're recording this in September. We've just had a rough week.
Yeah.
A lot.
Do you leave it there? But yeah.
Yeah. And so we were talking this morning and he said, you know, Mom, the interesting thing about right now is there's a lot of questions people are asking. And he goes, there's some aggression for sure, but there's questions that people are asking. And he goes, this guy was asking some faith questions. Mm. Help me understand. Mm. Why would God do this? Why would he allow this? And it's opening up these beautiful conversations, but if they didn't have the relationship first.
Correct.
If my son was like, well, you're an atheist and I'm not, you know, talking with you.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk at you and tell you what you need to know.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they're having harder, deeper conversations because, you know, they had the relationship prior to that.
Yeah, everybody's looking for answers right now. Like, and that's...
For sure.
That should be a beautiful thing for Christians because we have the answer. Not the answers to every question, but we have the answer, and that's Jesus, right? And so if we get a chance to speak to the hope that we have in him, the peace we have in him, what a blessing. And again, when somebody trusts us enough to have conversations about their family, about what they think about what's going on, they trust us enough to at least hear what we have to say. And if they hear what we have to say, it might just happen that the Holy Spirit creates faith in them.
Because
faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God.
Right. And again, that's not my son's responsibility.
Correct.
God's got it.
Yeah.
Just have the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's time, when it's
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Where did you see in scripture? Have you seen a place or places where Jesus has modeled this, where he's modeled conversation?
Yeah. And I think... So the struggle with Jesus when we come to this is Jesus has unlimited emotional intelligence. So he knows what's going on in the person, right? He knows what's going on with him personally. He knows what's going on in the person. And so he can move a lot faster than we can.
Now I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence, just real quick for some of our maybe older listeners who aren't familiar with this terminology.
Yeah, or younger ones that haven't heard it yet. So emotional intelligence is understand what's going on internally with me and internally in you when we're having a conversation. So when you and I are having a conversation right now, there's things going on in your mind, baggage that you're carrying, and there's baggage and things in my mind. And so when I understand both of those things, then I can have a better, clearer conversation.
So for instance, me saying, we've had a hard week.
Yeah.
You know that I'm coming into this conversation.
Correct.
You are with those things on our mind.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And so Jesus understands all the baggage someone's carrying. So let's take the woman at the well, which we've talked about a lot, but I think it's a great example. Like he goes really fast with her, right? But he knows what's going on. He knows where he can lean in and where he can push, where he can't talk about yet and where he can, right? And he knows that because he's Jesus. We have to learn that through relationship, through friendship, through conversation, where somebody's at. And I think that's where Jesus is a great example to look at because that conversation, right? Like how many husbands? Where's your husband, right? He knows that he can push that button. But like, we don't always know if we can push that button because that's a raw topic because she's on, you know, her sixth husband that's not even her husband, right?
Right.
And so that's the reality. But we have to learn that slowly. Like, can I push that button or not? Can I lean into your pain or do I need to just listen? Can I speak Jesus here or do I need to wait? Like, those are things we have to like navigate slowly and cautiously. And I think next week the hurdles will help a little bit with that too. But so we see Jesus doing that very naturally, and he does it quick. I think we have to slow it down just a little bit because we don't have the knowledge that he does.
So if one of them is church hurt, is a way that I can do it to say, I'd like to ask you a question. This might go a little bit deeper. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Like to get that permission before you
for sure.
go the deep dive?
For sure. Yeah. Because that's an sometimes we forget that relationships are an exchange, like that you are giving and receiving in relationships, that it's in some way transactional, right? Like, and so if you're going to buy something from someone, you would ask somebody, right, a question. And so like, it's very transactional when you open up to difficult situations. And so like that person may not want to go there. And when they do, that's fine. Like just go somewhere else. So I think like when one way to ask a deep question is to ask for permission, is to ask, is that okay? Or you ask the question and then say, and if you don't want to go there, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just glad to be with you. But I think all those things are really helpful because what we want to do is we want to understand the person and allow them to feel seen and heard. Cause then we can speak the gospel in a way that, isn't. This is what I'm always worried about, that non-Christians see us as trying to hit a quota, that I've got to get a notch in my belt. But I don't share my faith because I want to hit a quota or get a notch in my belt. I share my faith because I generally care about that person whom God created, and I want them to know their Savior. And so do they see that concern and love and care from me, or do they see me as hitting a quota? And that's what I gotta kind of, that's one of the things that I think I have to get over as I'm sharing my faith. And again, that's not to say that you can't do it boldly. You can't be yourself,
right?
Because I think what people want is authenticity. And so if you're a bold and you just speak your mind, like be who you are, that's going to work for some people. Some people it's not. And God has placed you with the people he wants you to be with. I believe every relationship, he has a hand in forming that relationship. And so let's trust that who you are is going to work in that situation. But let's be intelligent in how we do it.
It's not easy. Like to, I can't find the word. It's not easy to shepherd people, is it? Because to me, your ride or die people are going to always want ride or die from you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have such a large group that you're shepherding that you have to be able to know how to encourage or support or push or whatever this entire flock in a sense, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that God's been growing me in here lately is that like we're called to go. He doesn't tell us every way to go, but he tells us to go do it. And so I think I'm more okay with leaning into the complexity that how you're going to do it is differently. And I think what I would ask for the ride or die people and the a little bit more patient people is just to realize that we all have a place and we all have a need in this kingdom and we all have a role. And so don't get so pigeonholed in everybody needs to do it like I do it, but rather how am I using the gifts God has given me to reach the people that God has given me to reach?
And
be you, but let's be wise. Let's grow in our wisdom in conversations as we do that. And that's the person that's a little passive. Let's be a little more aggressive. Like you can learn something from those people. Don't be them. Don't try to emulate them. And the same thing for the aggressive people. Like there's some times when you could maybe calm down a notch and that might be okay. But don't lose who you are. I need you to be aggressive. The kingdom needs you to be aggressive when it comes to this. And you need to push us to be aggressive, right? Like, but we're all in this thing together for a reason.
Yeah. So when you hear ride or die or you hear more aggressive, I understand that's coming from me, who's an aggressive and more ride or die person, but don't be offended by that. It's just kind of trying to explain the groups of people that we're talking to. And
it's to celebrate that we're all different and we're all needed in the kingdom of God. Yes. And you, all of your predispositions make us better as a community together. Like, I don't want a church full of ride or die people. I don't want a church full of passive or...
Thomas. It's like Peter and Thomas.
Yeah.
You have Peter who's like...
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, let's go. You know, and you got Peter who's like, ho, wait, hold on. Yep. I got to make sure this is the right thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need all of those people, which is why Jesus had all of those 12 Correct. Disciples. He yeah. needed all of them.
Yeah. The only one that can fulfill every role perfectly is Jesus. Right. Right? We can't. And so by the body of Christ, we look a little bit more like the fullness of Jesus when we're together. And so, yeah. So celebrate that. Celebrate that in other people and celebrate that you're the way that you are.
So what's the first step? What's one thing I can take away today that I could start working on today?
Yeah. So if you don't know, yeah, it depends on where you are. If you don't know anybody that's not a Christian, approach, wave, say hi, walk across the street, sit down in a lawn chair that's in their front yard and have a conversation with them. Approach. If you have those conversations and maybe they're not getting to Jesus yet, ask deeper questions. Work on your question asking. You can chat GPT it, like, give me 5 questions to ask my friend that'll help me have deeper conversations with them. And try them out. See what works. See what's natural to you. And then I think if you're doing that, Jesus will come up. And so just, you know, be ready to share that hope you have in him.
Wow. Great conversation. Thanks, Pastor. And thank you for listening today. We look forward to part 2 of this conversation. Have a great day.